This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa afdalus salati wa atammu at-taslimi ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, the seventh Khalifa in the house of Umayyah, the seventh Khalifa of the Umayyah dynasty, inshallah, is our subject for tonight. And we have looked in the previous sessions to the dynasty until the time of Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. We spent the last session talking about Umar ibn Abdul Aziz as the fifth guided Khalifa, as counted by many of the Muslim scholars, and we quoted Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah as saying al-Khulafa u-Khamsa, Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman wa Ali wa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, narrated by Abu Dawood. He said there are five Khalifas in Islam, and so he's counted Umar ibn Abdul Aziz as the fifth guided Khalifa after the four known guided Khalifa after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we saw how the Khilafa of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was unique, sort of unexpected in the dynasty of Umayyah, and how it was much needed into this reign of Bani Umayyah to rectify many wrongs that happened during the time of Bani Umayyah. And some of that we talked about the dynasty concept, the tribal zealotry that was revived during the time of Umayyah, the alliances within the government that eventually led to the destruction of this dynasty, the oppression of many people, especially the supporters of Ali radiallahu anhu in the time of Bani Umayyah, and then distraction by wealth and power from the real message of the Khilafah of the Islam. And that's when Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz came, and that's why his Khilafah, although his Khilafah did not last but 2 years, but he was very important, very, very renowned, very well known, very well spoken of, and that is why. We said how many conquests and adding territory happened during the Khilafah of al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, how many political revival and political construction of the Muslim Ummah happened during the Khilafah of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan. But still the Khilafah of Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz surpasses all of those, more mentioned in history. And that is why, because it steals back the message of the Khilafah to the way that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although it was short-lived. And to speak of the Khilafah of Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, we started with how the man came to be, how Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz came to be, and starting from his birth. And actually we started from before his birth, started from his, where he came from, and how he is Sibt Umar ibn al-Khattab, as the grandson, the great-grandson actually of Umar ibn al-Khattab, to his son Asim ibn al-Khattab, who has a daughter, his name was Layla. And Layla, Umm Asim married Abd al-Aziz ibn Marwan, and the result of this union was Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. And we spoke of the story of his grandmother, to his mother, the milk seller who refused to cheat, and who was as fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public as she was in privacy. And we see how the good comes out with the good, inshallah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the book. And then how he was raised in Medina, how he took directly from his uncle, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma, and how he took from many of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een that were present in al-Medina, and then his experience as a governor of Medina and Hijaz later on, and how he started his way of ruling that was similar to the Khulafa al-Rashideen, And it was not as obvious during the time as when he was governor of Medina as it was later on when he became a Khalifa, but it was a learning experience for Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and a good start to put him on the right path in history. And he was a governor in Medina for 6 years, between 87 after the Hijrah into the 93rd after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he went back to Asham and he advised Al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, and then Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. And then the Khilafah came to Abdul Malik, to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, through direct will and recommendation from Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik. And like we said, the Muslim world was waiting for Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and was really thirsty for somebody like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz to return to the concept of the Khilafah. So tonight, inshallah, we'll start speaking of the Khilafah, of the Khilafah of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Speak of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz as a Khalifa. What was the course of his Khilafah? What was his method in ruling and in governing this Muslim Ummah? And that is important because this is really a role model. He's one of the role models in our Islamic history to how government should be, how ruling people should go like. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, like we said, became a Khalifa, and when he immediately became a Khalifa in Safar, in the month of Safar of the 99th year after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Inna lillah وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ." All returns to Allah. Like, he was hit with a calamity, with a disaster. And then he got on the minbar and he told the Muslims, "You have your bay'ah back. You are free from your pledge of allegiance to me, because this bay'ah was without consultation with you, without shura." And then he was re-given the bay'ah. He was given again the khilafah and the pledge of allegiance. So he is considered as a Khalifa and not a king. He is considered among the scholars as a Khalifa, as a successor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not a governor that got the Khilafa through inheritance and through a recommendation or will of others without consultation with the Muslims. And one of the first things he did is really what became a theme for his Khilafa, is he turned away from the appearance of the luxury and extravagance in Khilafah. He refused to get in the caravan of the Khalifa. Now the Khalifa at that time, in the time of Bani Umayyah, with all the wealth and all the indulgence in the wealth, they had a caravan for the Khalifa, and wherever the Khalifa goes, he goes through a caravan, which is really the way rulers move today. There would be a big entourage around them. There would be horses and carriages and others. And when he saw this whole thing, he said, "What is this?" And they said, "Hadha markab al-khilafa." This is the caravan of the Khalifa. And he said, "Bring me my mule. Give me my mule. This is enough for me." And he got on his mule and he went back to his humble house. He refused to get on in the caravan of the Khalifa, and he refused to be in the house of the Khalifa, in the palace where Khilafah was conducted. And he stayed in his humble house in Damascus, and that's where he remained until he died, rahimahullah. And we spoke of his speech when he was given the Khilafah, his State of the Union, if you will, or his inaugural speech, where he outlined the methodology, how he's going to govern the Muslim world, and how he committed to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Quran and the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he should treat all people equally, and how he would take advice from people and critique, and he would be straightened on the right path, and how he would prevent corruption in the ummah. And then he finished his khutbah with a beautiful word. He said, "أيها الناس إن لي نفسا تواقة لا تعطى شيئا إلا تاقت إلى ما هو أعلى منه." He said, "I have a greedy soul. Whenever I'm giving something, I want the thing that is better than it. He said, وَإِنِّي لَمَّا أُعْطِيتُ الْخِلَافَةَ تَاقَتْ نَفْسِي لِمَا هُوَ أَعْلَى مِنْهَا. So when I was given the Khilafah, now the Khalifa of Umayyah at that time is really the governor, he's the superpower of the world, this is the state that stretched from Kashgir in China to Narbonne in France, and he was governor over all of it. He was the ruler over all of it. And he said, when I was given this kingdom, I wanted something above that. أَلَا وَهُوَ الْجَنَّةِ. I want al-Jannah now. I got everything that anybody can wish for in this dunya, and because my soul is ambitious, then I want the Jannah. فَأَعِنُونِ عَلَيْهَا. Then help me for my quest. Help me for my quest for al-Jannah. يَرْحَمْكُمُ اللَّهِ. One of the first things that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz started his Khilafah with is he sent to the army that was besieging Constantinople, that was sent by Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik and was led by Maslama ibn Abdul Malik. And this is narrated in Al-Bidayah wal-Nihayah lil-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. He said the first thing that army was in dire straits, they were in famine, they were tired in that siege, and he ordered them to come back to Asham. So he lifted that siege, and that tells you that his principle was to do what is better, what is best for the ummah, what is better for the army, not to stretch the army beyond its means, or just to give them things, or to ask them things, to deliver things they cannot deliver, just to please the Khilafah. He brought the army back, and he left Constantinople alone, and that would be left like that actually for hundreds of years till the time of Muhammad al-Fatih rahimahullah. And then after that he wrote a letter. Now he told people in Asham how things going to be during his reign, but the injustices and the corruption was widespread in the Muslim world at that time. And so he wrote letters to the governors of each state, each Muslim state at that time, telling them what they should do and how his method of ruling will be. And he said, مِنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. From the servant, from the slave of Allah, أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِلَى الْعُمَّالِ. To the governor. أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ مَنْ بُلِيَ مِنْ أَمْرِ السُّلْطَانِ بِشَيْءٍ فقد ابتلي في الدنيا ببلية عظيمة مع ما ابتلي به في خاصة نفسه فنسأل الله عافيته وحسن معونته. He said, those who were given authority in this dunya, they are giving a test, they are giving a tribulation. Baliya, this is a disaster, personal catastrophe that happened to them. عظيمة, great one. مع ما ابتلي به في نفسه, with the self-test that the governor or the person in authority has to go through. He said, this is a big test. This is a big trial and tribulation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the safety, and we ask Him for help for this trial. And he explained, he said, وَأَيُّ بَلَاءٍ أَشَدُّ مِنْ بَلَاءٍ يَبْسُطُ لِلْمَرْءِ فِيهِ لِسَانُهُ وَفِعْلُهُ. He said, what a trial can be worse than a trial where a person can achieve everything he says and everything he orders. When he is a Khalifa, whatever he wants will happen. And he's also telling his governors, you are in a place of authority and you have power. You have power. Whatever you command, people will do. And he said, in that there is a great test for you and there is a great tribulation. فَإِنَّا لَفِيهِ. And if you deviated in that, إِلَى كُلِّ هَوَى, to any caprice of the soul, to any desire of your own self, كَانَ فِيهِ وَقْفٍ, then this will be great injustice. There will be great injustice in that. إِلَّا يَعْفُ اللَّهَ وَيَغْفُرْ, except for when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. And فَإِنَّمَا وَجَدْتُ وَالِيَ السُّلْطَانِ عَبْدًا مَمْلُوكًا وَلِيَ ضَيْعَ عَلَيْهِ الْإِجْتِهَادُ فِي إِصْلَاحِهَا. أجره إحسان إن أحسن وإحسان عمل به فيهم على ملكه الذي خلقه لما شاء أن يخلق لما شاء يخلقه له فانزل بتلك المنزلة في أمرك واصبر على ما كرهت واصبر على ما أحببت. He said, I found that those who are giving way of authority, even for a small town or a small city, then they have to work hard to rectify the wrongs, to work hard to rebuild whatever it's under, whatever was put under their custody. And their reward in that is good if they do good, meaning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the reward, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And he said, make that your way of life. Make sure that this is your law. This is the law that you follow. This is your method. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا كَرِهْتَ. And if something that you hate happened to you, be patient. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَحْبَبْتَ. And if something that you like, that you want, and please you happen, then also be patient with it. Meaning that do not despair when things are rough, when things are hard. But do not be arrogant and do not feel proud in yourself when things are going your way. He said both issues, both things are tribulation. So when you are in a position of authority, whichever the wind blows, make sure that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be watchful, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever happened, even if the things that you want happen in your reign, then let it be known to you that this is still a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waqif nafsak, and review yourself. Account, have accountability with your own deeds. Fi kulli sirrin wa alaniya, in all the private accounts and all the public accounts. Inda alladhi tarju bihi an-najata inda dhalik, and put that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who only has your safety on the Day of Judgment. حَتَّى تُفَارِقَ الَّذِي أَنْتَ فِيهِ, until you leave your kingdom, until you leave your place of authority. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَعَلَّهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ إِلَىٰ قَرِيبٍ. This, it may be sooner than you think when you leave that place of authority. You can either be made step down, or in the case of a khalifa, you can die. And that's what he's telling. He said, you don't know how much you're going to live. So make sure that every day that you live, have personal accountability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meet you, وَأَنْتَ مُحْسِنٌ وَمَأْجُورٌ, and you are doing good, and you are to be rewarded from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, وَتَذَكَّرْ مَا سَلَفَ مِنْكَ مِنْ عَمَلِكَ فِيمَا سَلَفَ مِمَّا لَا تُحِبْ فَأَصْلِحْهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَتَوَلَّ صَلَاحُهُ غَيْرَكَ. He said, and review your previous deeds. Now these are all governors that were from the time of Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik. They had a certain way of life. They have certain way of government. And he said, I want you to go back and review your deeds before. Review your previous way of governing. And the things that you don't like, that you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, then rectify it. Then correct it before somebody else corrects it for you. And he left that to that. وَلَا يَكْبُرْ عَلَيْكَ فِي ذَلِكَ قَوْلُ النَّاسِ. And don't make it hard for yourself, and don't think much about what would people say. Meaning, don't mind what people would say. Now, since Umar is the Khalifa, he is trying to sort of kiss up to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and do good, and we know he's not a good person, and he's a hypocrite, and all of that. He said, don't mind people. When you purify your heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do the right thing and don't mind what would people think about you and what people would say about you. إِذَا عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكَ تَجْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ لَهُ فَإِنَّهُ سَيَكْفِيكَ الْمَأُونَ فِي عَاجِلِ الْأَمْرِ مَعَ مَا يَدَّخِرُ لَكَ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ فِي مَا عِنْدِهِ. And he said, if Allah knows that you are doing this for His sake, if whatever you do, and if you are doing it for the sake of Allah, then Allah will help you in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevent the harm of the people against you in this dunya. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save the reward for you in the akhirah. He said, so don't make it hard for you to go back and undo wrongs that you have done before, telling yourself that what would people say now, what would people think now, did I weaken, or etc. And then he said, take care of the people under you. And he said, وَقُلْ لِمَنْ وَالَاكَ اللَّهُ أَمْرَهُ نَاصِحًا. Give good advice to the people, to your subjects, to the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you authority over. فِيمَا بَعَثْتُكَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أُمُورِهِمْ فِي دِينِهِمْ. and help them on to rectify the conditions of their own religion, وأعراضهم, and their honor and their way of life. وستر كل ما استطعت من عوراتهم. He said, veil anything you want, anything you can out of their mistakes, out of their faults. He said, don't go and be scandalous and just say all the bad things about these people. إِلَّا شَيْئًا لَا يَصْلِحُ لَكَ سِتْرًا. Except the things that you cannot rectify, they cannot veil. Meaning if a crime was committed, if somebody stole something and you know, and you are the governor, your position is not to veil that, it's to really put justice where justice belongs. But do not unveil things that are not in the interest of the ummah, in the interest of the nation. And then he said, وَمْلُكْ نَفْسَكَ عَنْهُمْ إِذَا هَوَيْتَ وَإِذَا غَضِبْتَ. He said, be in full control of yourself in your anger. If you have desire to something, or if you're angry with something. Now, people in authority, if they have, let's say, desire to own something, they can do things to take these, let's say somebody likes an orchard or a house or etc. They can make an excuse to take it without its due right. He said, be in control of your own desires, of what you want. And be in control in your anger, because if the people in authority got angry with someone, they have the power to inflict severe punishment. And he said, you have to be sure that when you do justice, you don't make it out of anger, out of emotions. حَتَّى يَكُونُ لَكَ فِي مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ مُسْتَوِيًا حَسَنًا. Until you level things out and things would be good under your reign. And then he said, we ask Allah the help, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify and correct our affairs and to help us and for all the challenges ahead of us and for the challenges that we are going to face after death. He is reminding his governors that it doesn't end here. There is a day after, there is when we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, نسأل الله أن يصلح لنا عملنا ويكفينا مؤونة ما نحن فيه ومؤونة ما نرجع إليه فيما بعد الموت في أحسن كفاية والسلام. And that was his letter to his governors. So that was the way that he started his khilafah, رضي الله عنه. By giving this letter and sending this letter to the governors and the people under his authority and telling them this is the way it's going to be. So the things that he himself, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, applied during his government came from different elements and different aspects of his own personality and from different methods that he followed. So inshallah we will go over one aspect of his khilafah, one aspect of his methodology, if you will, in governing people. And the first thing that he did is the love of his predecessors, the love of the early Muslims, the first community, and the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why is that important to mention? Because people in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at certain period in the reign of Bani Umayyah were considered enemies of the state. The offsprings of Al-Husayn radiallahu an, the offsprings of Al-Hasan radiallahu an, were considered our enemies of the state for Bani Umayyah. And every khatib, every speaker in the Jum'ah has to curse Ali radiallahu an before they get off the minbar during the time of Bani Umayyah until Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and before him in some narration before for Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, who stopped this based on a recommendation of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. But Umar ibn Abdul Aziz had love for the first community, had love for the early Muslims, and he knew that that was the way, if we follow the way of that first community, and for our study of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know what they had to go through, good and bad, tribulation, famine, and again wealth, like what happened after Hunayn. And he said, if you follow their examples, then you know this is the way to safety. And if you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah and the path of the guided khalifa after him, then we will be safe. And from a history account into that, what Fatima bint al-Husayn bint Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Fatima, the daughter of al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, she said after Umar ibn Abdul Aziz died, He said, لو كان بقي لنا ما احتجنا بعد إلى أحد. Had he remained for us, we would need nobody. And that's a testimony of how good he was to the children of Al-Husayn and children of Al-Hasan, who were really not welcomed, were not welcomed in the house of Umayyah before Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And he stopped cursing of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he wrote to the people that get on the minbar and give the preaching for the people, and to the umara, to the governors, he said, when you get on the minbar, صلوا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, give the blessing on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وليصلوا على المؤمنين والمؤمنات. And he said, you have to give the peace and the blessings on all the believers. وليستنصر الله, and ask Allah for his help and his support. وَلْتَكُنْ مَسْأَلَتُهُمْ عَامَّةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, and let them ask for all the good of all believers, for all people. وَلْيَدْعُوا مَا سُوَ ذَلِكَ, and let them pray for whatever else they like. فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ التَّوْفِيقَ فِي الْأُمُورِ كُلِّهَا, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and support and guidance in all our affairs. وَالرَّشَادُ وَالصَّوَابُ وَالْهُدَى فِيمَا يُحِبُّ وَيَرْضَى وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. So that was his direct letter. This is a historical letter he wrote to people. He said, when you pray on the minbar, don't curse anyone and just pray for the good of all people, and don't discriminate between people and in some groups and others. Don't just make the dua for Bani Umayyah or the dua for the supporters of Bani Umayyah or the supporters of the Khalifa. He said, let the dua be common for all people, all believers, and for the good of everyone, for the guidance for everyone. The second aspect of his methodology of government was shura. Now, the government in Umayyah was autocracy. I mean, it was really sort of a self-centered in the house of Umayyah, and the rest of the Muslim world was subject to the opinions in the house of Umayyah. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz changed that, and he asked the shura not from Umayyah. Now, when Marwan ibn al-Hakam, we saw how we started the Khilafah, and we studied all of that. The Umayyah had a Shura Council, but it was within Umayyah. The Shura Council of Umayyah was from the people of Umayyah, or from the people that are alliance, they have alliances with the house of Umayyah. But Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anh, his Shura was with the scholars. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people who know, the people who have knowledge. If you don't know, don't ask your family, don't ask the people that really don't have any interest in, their whole interest is really in their own in self-development and self-wealth. But his counsel was the scholars. And he learned that particular issue from his government when he was in Medina. When his counsel was 10 of the great scholars of At-Tabi'een, including Sa'id ibn Musayyib and Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr and Ali Zayn al-Abidin and the rest of the Tabi'een and the Sahaba that were in Al-Madinah. And one of the people that he asked help for is Salim. Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar, who was also one of his councils in Medina. And it is interesting to read this, also this historical letter is reported, and it is reported in Akhbar Umar lil-Ajri, and it was also reported in other references when he asked the shura of the scholars. And we will go over two letters and the response that came. One of them came from Salim, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar. Now this is his cousin. His cousin, that he is also a scholar of Islam, and he was one of his councilmen in Medina. He said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ اسْمُهُ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّهُ ابْتَلَانِي بِمَا ابْتَلَانِي بِهِ مِنْ أَمْرِ عِبَادِهِ وَبِلَادِهِ أَسْأَلُهُ أَنْ يُحْسِنَ عَوْنِي وَعَاقِبَتِي وَعَاقِبَةَ مَنْ وَلَّانِي أَمْرَهُ. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you saw, he is trying me, he's testing me with this tribulation, with this affair of his people. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me and make my destiny to good and the end of this to be good. وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَنْ أَسِيرَ فِي النَّاسِ بِسِيرَةِ عُمَرِ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He said, I want to follow the way of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He is writing this to the grandson of Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he is telling his grandson, Umar ibn al-Khattab's grandson, that I want to follow the method of Umar ibn al-Khattab. فَبْعَثْ إِلَيَّ بِكُتُبِ عُمَرَ وَقَضَائِهِ فِي أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ وَأَهْلِ الْعَهْدِ. He said, send me all the letters, all the relics of Umar. All, everything you know of Umar, this is his grandson, direct grandson from his son. So he said, send me everything you know, everything you have, the relics of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And his dealing with the Muslims, في أهل القبلة وأهل العهد, and the non-Muslims, the people of the ذمة. فإني متبع أثره وسائر بسيرته إن شاء الله وأسأل الله التوفيق لما يحب ويرضى. Because I want to follow his way and I want to walk on his path. And then Salim ibn Abdullah sent him a letter saying, the people now are not like the people of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And the ways, the times now are different from the times of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, but do whatever you can to rectify things, follow the path of the Prophet. And he said, you cannot really do exactly what Umar ibn al-Khattab did because times have changed. Things are changed now. Things have changed now. The other letter that he wrote to Al-Hasan al-Basri. Al-Hasan al-Basri, one of the great scholars, and we went over his life. And he also asked for recommendation and advice from Al-Hasan al-Basri. And Al-Hasan al-Basri said, in a very nice reply to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he said, Al-Imam al-Adl. Umar asked Al-Hasan, who is the just ruler? Because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised paradise for the just ruler. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one of the seven people that are shades in the shade of, that are, will be shaded in the shade of Allah on the day of justice, judgment will be the just ruler. So he said, who's the just ruler? He wanted to ask this great scholar. So he wrote him back, he said, a just ruler, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, is like a loving father to his children. And he works for them and teaches them and earn for them and save for them. This is how you want to deal with your people. And then he said, a just ruler, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, is like a loving mother with her children. She will carry them with difficulty, and she will put them down in difficulty, and she will raise them and nurture them, and she will have to stay up at night to take care of them. He said, you want to be a just ruler? Yeah, this is how you're going to do it. It's not easy. And he said, if they are good, you can be good, but if they are not resting, you cannot rest. And then he said, Al-Imam al-Adlu wasiyyu al-Yatama. He's the caregiver, the custodian for the orphans, وَخَازِنُ الْمَسَكِينَ, and he is the supplier of the poor. And then he said, the Imam al-Adl, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, the just ruler is like the heart and the body. If the heart is good, the whole body is good. And if the heart is not good, then the whole body will be corrupt. Meaning, look at your own self. Purify yourself. Review yourself. You are the heart of this nation. You are the leader of this ummah. And if you are good, and if your heart is good, then the entire ummah will be good. And we saw that how that happened in a very short time. Only 2 years and 4 months in the reign of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And he said, the just ruler, this is really a very known letter and very beautiful letter. It definitely is a contrast to the book of the prince for Machiavelli. The famous, it seems like most rulers today follow that constitution to run the government. But this is the Muslim advice, the Muslim scholarly advice of how you should run the affairs of the Muslims. Like a loving father to his children, like a loving mother to her children. And he said, a just ruler is what is between Allah and the slaves of Allah. He said, الإمام العدل يا أمير المؤمنين هو القائم بين الله وعباده يسمع كلام الله ويسمعهم. He said, the Imam al-Adl listens to what Allah says and let it be known among people. He delivered the message of Allah to his subjects. وينظر إلى الله ويريهم. And he looks to Allah meaning he follows the, or he does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to do, and he shows them the way. He is a role model. The Imam al-Adl is a role model for the public, for the people. وَيَنْقَادُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَقُودُهُمْ. And he is led to Allah, and he leads the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, be like a slave who is trusted with the money, with the custody from his master. He said, this is a trust in your hand. These people, this government, this ummah is a trust now in your hand. And he didn't make it any easier on him. This is a long letter, so bear with me. And he said, وَذْكُرْ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْمَوْتِ وَمَا بَعْدَهِ. Remember death and what comes after death. وَقِلَّةَ أَشْيَاعِكَ عِنْدَهِ وَأَنصَارُكَ عَلَيْهِ. Remember how little guards you will have against death. And remember that you will not have any soldiers around you in the time of death. They cannot prevent any harm. I mean, nothing will help you at the moments of death and after death. فَتَزَوَّدْ لَهُ وَلِمَا بَعْدَهُ مِنَ الْفَزَعِ الْأَكْبَرِ. And supply yourself with sustenance for the death, for the moment of death, and for what comes after death, and standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, وَعْلَمْ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنَّ لَكَ مَنْزِلًا غَيْرَ مَنْزِلَكَ الَّذِي أَنْتَ فِيهِ يطول فيه ثواؤك ويفارقك أحباؤك ويسلمونك في قعره فريدا وحيدا. He said, let it be known to you that you will have a house different from the house that you are in. And in that house you will remain for a long time. And those who love you will not be with you. And you will be at the bottom of it by yourself. And that is the grave. He said, remember, don't let your authority fool you, and remember your time in the grave. And he said, فَتَزَوَّدْ لَهُ مَا يَصْحَبُكَ يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. He said, supply yourself with things that would benefit you on the day where a brother will run away from a brother, when a mother and a father would run away from their son, and the spouse will run away from their spouse, and the children will run away from the parents. He said, that is the day of judgment when all you can take is the good deeds with you. And that was the letter of Al-Hasan al-Basri to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So we saw how Umar ibn Abdul Aziz asked the council of the scholars and the clerics of the Ummah, he chose the best, and how they gave him the good advice to help him during his reign. The third concept of the Khilafah of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is the concept of justice and equality. One of his famous words of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he said, إِذَا دَعَتْكَ قُدْرَتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ إِلَى مَظْلَمَةٍ فَاذْكُرْ قُدْرَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَنَفَادَ مَا تَأْتِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَبَقَاءَ مَا يَأْتُونَ إِلَيْكَ. He said, remember, when your power, your authority allow you to transgress and oppress people, then remember the might of Allah. Remember the power of Allah over you. And remember that all the things that you take from people will go away, and all the things that you record with them will stay with you. Meaning your deeds among with them will stay with you. But whatever conflict you have with them, if it were over money or other things, that is all going away. And that's what he used to say, and he would remember himself. And one of the famous stories of the justice of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is he encouraged people. He was one of the khulafa that encouraged people to come and complain or criticize or ask the Khalifa for help. Because before the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, during the time of Bani Umayyah, the Khulafa were up here and the people were down there. And there was a gap. The people cannot come and meet the Khalifa and offer their complaints. And it is narrated from the story of the people of Samarkand. This is one of the famous stories that is actually narrated in many books, that the people of Samarkand saw, of course, there were many of them were non-Muslims at that time, because Samarkand was just conquered during the reign of Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, and it was only 4 or 5 years until the time of Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. This is narrated in At-Tabari, in the Tariq At-Tabari, the very famous historic book in Islam. And what the people of Samarkand saw, that there was a change in the way that they are being treated in Samarkand based on the recommendation of Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. They saw that they were building now hotels, sort of a hotel called Al-Khanat, the Khan, and they would people who have need will go to there, and they will get supplies, and they will get shelter, and the treatment has completely changed from the rulers. So they asked, what is the deal? And they told them that there is a new Khalifa in Damascus, and this Khalifa is good and just, and his name is Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. So the people of Samarkand, at the time when Qutaybah ibn Muslim al-Bahili opened the city of Samarkand, when he besieged the city, he got into the city and conquered it, but the people of Samarkand heard that Muslims cannot come into a city unless they offer people three options. Option number one, to become Muslims. Option number two is to pay the jizya. And then option number three, and the last option, would be war, would be fighting. So the people of Samarkand said, Qutaybah didn't offer us that. And since there is a new Khalifa in Dimashq, a new Khalifa in Damascus, then let's go and complain to the Khalifa. So a delegation from Samarkand went and met with Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. So they told them that before we heard that you Muslims, when you come to a city, you offer the jizya, you offer the Islam, and then if people don't accept, then you offer them to fight. So Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz heard them and through his governor, and he gave his governor orders to the people of Samarkand. He said, you withdraw from the city of Samarkand. He asked the Muslim army to withdraw. This is a city under the reign of the Muslims. He said, you withdraw from Samarkand and you camp outside the city like you were before you conquer the city. And then you give the people the option to either pay jizya or to fight you again or to come into Islam. And so this is really unreported in history before. So the people of Samarkand, to their astonishment, they saw the Muslim army once starting to withdraw, and they told them, you have 3 days to decide whether you want to pay jizya or become Muslims, or we will come again and fight you. And then the people of Samarkand decided that to accept the Muslims and to accept the Islamic government, and then later on the entire state and the province around Samarkand became an Islamic state. Another picture that is reported by history is reported by the judge of Al-Musul, who is Yahya ibn Yahya al-Ghassani. He said, one time Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz was in Hims, and he was in the marketplace and he was checking on things, and he saw a man who is wearing a red garment, which is not usual for the people of Hisham. So he knew that he was not from that area. And the man came to Amir al-Mu'mineen, to Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. And he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ أَنَّكَ أَمَرْتَ مَنْ كَانَ مَظْلُومًا أَنْ يَأْتِيَكَ. I heard that you ordered, that you told people, whoever has been wronged, to come to you and complain to you. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, now. And he said, وَهَا قَدْ أَتَاكَ رَجُلٌ مَظْلُومٌ بَعِيدُ الدَّارِ. I came from far away and I have been wronged. And Umar said, وَأَيْنَ أَهْلُكَ. Where is your dwelling? Where is your people? And he said, in Adan. Adan is in the south coast of Yemen. It's in Hadramaut. And Umar said, وَاللَّهِ إِنَّ مَكَانَكَ مِنْ مَكَانِ عُمَرَ لَبَعِيدٌ. You came from really, truly from far away. And then he got off his mule and he sat with him and he said, مَا ظُلَامَتُكَ. What's wrong with what happened to you? And he said, بَيْعَةٌ لِي وَثَبَ عَلَيْهَا رَجُلًا مِمَّنْ يَلُوذُونَ بِكَ وَانْتَزَعَهَا مِنِّي. He said, I have a small farm, a small ranch, that some of your people from Umayyah, they took it away from me. They took my ranch away from me. So Umar wrote a letter to his governor in Aden, Urwa bin Muhammad, and he said, أما بعد فإذا جاءك كتابي هذا فاسمع بينة حامله فإن ثبت له حق فادفع له حقه. He said to the governor, he said, if you hear him, you hear his adversaries, and if he is right, then give him back his ranch. But that's not, this is expected from Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. But here's what he told the man after that. The man was happy and he was taking this letter and he wants to leave. Umar said, على رسلك, hold on, wait a minute. And he said, you came from afar, yes? And the man said, yes, I came from far. And he said, well, you have consumed, you have used clothes on your way here. And these clothes, you must have to replace the clothes. And you have used mules and camels on your way here. And these mules and camels need to be replaced. And he said, yes, I lost a camel and I needed to buy such and such. And all of that. This is true. This is what a traveler, basically the cost of his trip. And Umar said, give him money to replace whatever he lost during his trip from Aden to Asham. And he said, after he paid him the cost, after he paid him his travel expense, because he came to complain to him, he said, أشرع ذلك في الناس. Let everybody know that we pay people that come to us to complain. حَتَّى لَا يَتَثَاقَلَ مَظْلُومٌ عَنْ رَفْعِ ظَلَامَتِهِ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ مَهْمَا كَانَ بَعِيدَ الدَّارِ. So people don't be lazy, don't make it hard on themselves. They won't come to us and complain no matter how far away from us they are. So he paid him travel expense to come and complain to him about the wrong that happened to that man. And this pictures of the justice and equality of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. The other aspect, the fourth aspect of his khilafah, is preserving public money. Like his great-grandfather Umar ibn Khattab, we know how Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would follow a camel, and because it's a camel that belongs to the Muslims, and how he would treasure everything that the treasury of Muslims had. And the same thing Umar ibn Abdul Aziz applied. And his whole salary every day, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, was 2 dirham. 2 dirham is very little money at that time. And his garment was 8 dirham, and the price of his garment was 8 dirham, and they contrasted that to his garments before the Khilafah, and it was 100 folds. He was wearing things that are worth 100 of what he used to wear before he became a Khalifa. And one of the things that he would do is if somebody came and talked to him about the affair of Muslims, he would use a certain candle. But if they started asking him about his family, he would turn that candle off and he would light another candle, his own personal. Because now the questions are not about the Muslims, it's about his own personal family. So he would not have the public light in a place when he is talking about his own personal affair. And subhanAllah, how we need something like that. And one other thing that he would not heat his water for wudu in the kitchen of the Muslims, in the public kitchens where he put the fire to feed the Muslims, and the wood is coming from public Muslim account, he would refuse to make wudu in that water. He would refuse to bathe in the water that was heated in Muslims' money. And one time, his servant barbecued a piece of meat for him in the kitchen where they feed the rest of the Muslims, and this was a public feeding place, and he brought it to him, and he refused to eat it. He said, this is public money and this is haram for my stomach, and you go to my own kitchen and you barbecue a different one for me to eat. One time he wanted honey, and honey was not available in the place that he was at, so his wife asked for honey to be brought from a different place, and they send it on the post office, so to speak, mule that belonged to the money, and he refused to eat from that. He said it came through public transportation, and I have no rights unless he pays for that service. And his famous word was, أَمُصِدَ الدَّوَابُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي شَهْوَةِ عُمَرِ. He said, the mules of the Muslims are put so Umar can have whatever he wants to desire. And he said, مَا جَعَلَنِ اللَّهُ أَحَقَّ بِدَوَابِ الْبَرِيدِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He said, if these mules are available for all Muslims to bring things, I mean, to us it's really inconceivable. He said, what's wrong with that? You know, you can just pay the money that, but this was not an available service to all Muslims. It was only for the Khalifa. So it is for the Khalifa for just state matters. It's not for him to eat honey. So he said, as long as this service is not available for all Muslims, then Umar will not have the service, and he will not enjoy or indulge in that is not available for the rest of the Muslims. And one of the things he did is his wife, Fatima, daughter of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, had jewelry, and that jewelry came from her father. Where Umar ibn Abdul Aziz considered all the money in the hands of Bani Umayyah is wrong. All the money that Bani Umayyah, all the wealth that the dynasty of Umayyah have gathered is haram. It's not money that was gathered lawfully, because they gathered it using their authority, using their power over the Muslims. So he asked, when he came and became a Khalifa, he asked his wife to return all her jewelry to the treasury of the Muslims. And she said, my father gave them to me. I mean, he said, well, the money of your father is given to your father in an unlawful way. And so you have to return all that jewelry to the treasury of the Muslims. And she gave it all to the treasury of the Muslims. After Umar ibn Abdul Aziz died, her brother Yazid ibn Abdul Malik became a Khalifa. Now she is the sister of the Khalifa. So he brought that same jewelry and gave it back to her sister. To his sister, he said, "Here's your jewelry that Umar took away from you, and my father gave to you." And she refused to take it. And she said, "Ma kuntu li'atrukahu thumma akhudha." I will not leave it in the life of Umar and take it after Umar passed. So he gave it to his wives. Yazid ibn Abdul Malik gave the jewelry to his wives. And we know who is the true winner in that deal. Abdul Rahman ibn al-Qasim ibn Abi Bakr, one of the councilmen of Umar, he said, مات عمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله وخلف أحد عشر ابنا وكانت تركته 17 دينارا كفن منها بخمسة دنانير واشتري له موضع قبر بدينارين. He said, the will of Umar, when Umar died, in his house there were 17 dinar, 17 pieces of coins. And he said, the kafan, just to know the value of the 17, he said, the shroud, the kafan, cost 5. And the place for the grave, and I think real estate was a lot cheaper then, so it was 2 dinar. The grave site was for 2 dinar, and the shroud was for 5 dinar. And the rest of 10 was his will that was divided among his 11 children. And that was what he had. And he was one of the people of Umayyah, the wealthiest family on the face of the earth at that time. And we're talking about, you know, what would be worth billions of dollars today. This is the royal family of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. So you can imagine the wealth in comparison to what we see today. And when he died, all he had was what's enough. Half of it was only enough to buy the shroud that he was going to bury in and the site of his grave. The other thing is the open door policy that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz had. And we saw how he had an incentive for people to come to him. We saw the story of the man that came before Adan, and he paid him his way. And he said, tell everyone that we will pay you if you come and give us your complaints. And then he actually went further than that. And one time he wrote, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَأَيَّمَا رَجُلٌ قَدِمَ عَلَيْنَا فِي رَدِّ مَظْلَمَةٍ أو أمر يصلح به الله به خاصا أو عاما من أمر الدين فله ما بين 100 دينار إلى 300 دينار بقدر ما يرى من الحسبة وبعد الشقة. He put a reward. He said, anyone that will bring me a complaint, not a personal complaint, but things that would rectify the affair of the people. Anybody can show me a wrong that I can rectify, they will have a reward between 100 dinar to 300 dinar, depending on how far they came and how difficult it was for them to report this wrong. And then he said, أيها الناس من صاحبنا فليصحبنا بخمس وإلا فليفارقنا. Whoever is with us, let them have 5 rules or will leave us alone. Rule number 1, يرفع إلينا حاجة من لا يستطيع رفعها. To tell us the things that people cannot tell us. Give us the news about people that cannot deliver to us. ويعيننا على الخير بجهده. And to help us to do good with his own efforts. ويدلنا من الخير ما لا نهتدي إليه. And to show us the ways of good that we cannot see. Maybe there is a way to do good that we don't know, to show us that. وَلَا يَغْتَابَنَّ عِنْدَنَا أَحَدًا. The fourth is cannot backbite anybody in the presence of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. وَلَا يَعْرِضَنَّ فِيمَا لَا يُعْنِي. And do not speak in things that are not of importance or of their own affair to them. I have to stop, right? 11. Okay. So that was his open door policy. Now the other very important things that he did is fighting corruption in Umayyah. Umayyah, and I think we spoke enough of that, was really corrupted at the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So to fight that corruption, to rectify that corruption, was something that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz put as a priority in his government. And according to many historians, that cost him his life. According to many historians, that cost him his life when the people of Umayyah, his own family, conspired to poison him and kill him. But how did he try to fight corruption in the family of Umayyah? He first put him at the same level as others, which was an insult to the clan of Umayyah, because they are the elite of Quraysh and they have been in charge of the Muslim Ummah and they have taken all this wealth and all this authority and they are used to it. And they felt like when Umar ibn Abdul Aziz came, he took rights away from them. He deprived them things they viewed as their own given rights, God-given rights to have this station above the Muslims. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz would not have it this way. One time, Al-Imam Al-Awza'i narrated that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was in his house and the honorable of the people of Umayyah came to his house. And he read what they wanted. He read in their speech and in the way they talk what they want of him. They want him to give them certain privileges. And he said, أتحبون أن أولي كل رجل منكم جندا? You want me to give you soldiers, to give you servants, to give you people to serve you? And a man said sarcastically, he said, لما تعرض علينا ما لا تفعله? Why are you saying things that you don't do for us? Why are you teasing us like that? Telling us that you're going to give us, but you're not going to give us. But he's not teasing them. He's just asking, is that what you want? Is that you want that privilege? And then he told the people of Umayyah, he said, تَرَوْنَ بِصَاطِ هَذَا? Do you see my rug? إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يَصِيرُ إِلَى بَلًا وَفَنَاءً. I know that this rug will just be worn out and it will go away. وَإِنِّي أَكْرَهُ أَن تُدَنِّسُوهُ بِأَرْجُلَكُمْ. And I hate for you to دَنِّسُوهُ is to really not make dirty, but dishonor my rug by being here. So he was really harsh with them in the talk. And he said, فَكَيْفَ أُولِيكُمْ أَعْرَابَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. How I can give you the custody of the Muslims? How can I give you authority over the Muslims? هَيْهَاتَ هَيْهَاتَ. There is no way. And they said, وَلِمَا أَمَا لَنَا قَرَابَ. Aren't we your clan? Aren't we your kinship? And he said, مَا أَنْتُمْ وأقصى رجل من المسلمين عندي في هذا الأمر إلا سواء. He said, you and the furthest Muslim from me, anybody in the land of Muslims, are equal. You, Umayyah, the clan of Umayyah, and any Muslim in the land of Muslims are equal. And that angered the people of Umayyah. The other thing is, he started taking away the privileges and the money, especially all the money. The way that the Khulafa, the governors before Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, would make Bani Umayyah rich, is they will give them real estate. They will give them from all the conquered land, they will give them ranches and orchards and farms and things that actually generate money. They'll just give it to the people of Umayyah. So the people of Umayyah were getting richer and richer. And with wealth come power. So Umar started taking all of these things away from the people of Umayyah. So they came to him and they said, إِنَّكَ قَدْ أَحْيَيْتَ بَيْتَ مَالِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. You have expanded the treasury of the Muslims. وَأَفْقَرْتَ بَنِي أَبِيكَ. And you made the children of your father poor. It means you made your family poor. You've taken away money from us. وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ قَدْ وَلِيَهُ غَيْرَكَ قَبْلَكَ فَدَعْهُمْ وَمَا كَانَ مِنْهُمْ وَاشْتَغَلْ أَنْتَ وَشَأْنَكَ. He said, the sins of these things before you, it's up to the people that did it before you. Meaning if Abdul Malik ibn Marwan or Walid ibn Abdul Malik gave these ranches away to Umayyah, then that they will be asked about it in the Day of Judgment. Leave that alone. Just don't take it away. The sin is not up to you. And Umar said, هَذَا رَأْيُكُمْ. Is this your opinion? And they said, نعم, yes. He said, لَكِنِّي لَا أَرَى ذَلِكَ. But this is not my opinion. He said, وَاللَّهِ لَوَدَدْتُ أَلَّا تَبْخَى فِي الْأَرْضِ مَظْلَمَةً إِلَّا رَدَدْتُهَا. I wish that there would be nothing wrong on the face of the earth that I would not rectify. He said, not only in the lands of Muslim, I want to rectify all the wrongs, whether it was done before me or after me, until I die. So they went to Umar ibn al-Walid, and he was the one of their elders in Bani Umayyah. And he wrote him a letter, Umar ibn al-Walid wrote him a letter, and that was not to no avail with Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So they went after that to his aunt, Fatima bint Marwan ibn al-Hakam, his father's sister, who has a lot of love to Umar, and Umar loved her so much, and they said maybe his aunt would intercede, and he would listen to her, because he treated his aunt like he treated his mother. So he came, and the entire clan of Bani Umayyah revered this elderly lady in Umayyah. So they said, let's use her. So they send her to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And she told them that my nephews and my grandchildren are being insulted in your time. And you are taking their money and giving it, and you're giving their money to other people. So Umar laughed and he said, Ya Amma, اعلمي أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مات وترك الناس على نهر مورود. Said, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died, he left a wide open river for people, meaning that this religion and the wealth that is in the teaching of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, فولي ذلك النهر بعده رجل. A man after him took this river, فلم يستنقص منه شيئا. And he left that river intact. And he did not take anything from it. And then after that, a man came and he left it, meaning Abu Bakr and then Umar. And then after that, people came. And they started taking this river and divided into little creeks here and there, until this river is now cannot be seen. Meaning all the teaching is of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's given her an example. All the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now is completely ignored by people, and this river of wealth, of knowledge, this wealth of knowledge and teaching from the Prophet is now drying up in our time, so people cannot recognize right from wrong. And then he said, وَأَيْمَ اللَّهُ لَإِنْ أَبْقَانِ اللَّهُ لَأَرُدَّنَّهُ إِلَى مَجْرَاهُ الْأَوَّلِ. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept me, I will return this river to wherever the status that it was in before. فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ الرِّضَى. Who is happy with this, then he can be happy. And who is not happy, then they can be not happy. He said, I don't care if they're happy or not happy with me, those people of Umayyah. And they said, فَلَا يُسَبُّ عِنْدَكَ, then don't let anybody curse them. And then he said, وَمَنْ يَسُبُّهُمْ, I don't let anybody curse them. إِنَّمَا يَرْفَعُ الرَّجُلُ مَظْلَمَتَ فَأَخُذُ لَهُ بِهَا. He said, when somebody complains to me about them, then I have to do the justice and the right. And then his second aunt came to him and he said, حكم الله بيننا وبينك, may Allah have justice between you and between you and us. قطعت عنا أشياء كان يجريها غيرك. You deprived us from all the rights that the people before you were given, that they used to give us. And he said, you threaten me with the justice of Allah. He said, لولا ذلك الحكم لكنت أوصلهم لكم. He said, if it's not for the justice of Allah, then I would have given you that. He said, what is making me hold out from Umayyah and give the rest of people is the justice of Allah, because I will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about these things. And one time, when Sulaiman ibn Abd Malik died and he immediately got the Khilafah after Sulaiman, he heard that one of his cousins was given 20,000 dinar as a gift from the Khalifa, who he said, 20,000 dinar is enough for 4,000 poor houses in the lands of Muslims. He shall get none out of it. And he prevented even the orders of the Khalifa before him from being executed, because it did not make any sense and it was wrong and unjust. So these are some of the aspects of the way of the ruling of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. There really is still more to come, inshallah, and we will go over that in the session, inshallah, next week, about the public welfare, how he treated the public, how he had a welfare system, how he, his feeling of the responsibility and spreading that in the ummah, his animal rights, and how he refused the bribery, how people tried to bribe Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and how he refused those gifts and the bribery, how he dealt with his governors, and then the spreading of Islam, and then writing hadith. One of the great achievements of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is the start of writing the hadith in his time. And inshallah, we will conclude tonight. أسأل الله العظيم أن يوفقنا لما فيه الخير. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the right and to help us follow the path of these great leaders before us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify and correct the affairs of the Muslims and send us rulers and governors that follow the path of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and the guided Khalifa before him. Ameen.